Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Becca Bruner.
Well, we are in our fifth week in this series we have entitled Know God. We are getting to know God by name. We're going through various stories in the Old Testament, meeting various people there as they themselves meet and encounter the living God. And through these encounters, they give God these incredibly beautiful names. We've come to know God over these past few weeks as names like Yahweh Yireh, the Lord provides. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is my banner. El Elyon, the God Most High. And today we get to know God by one of his most familiar, most comforting names there is. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, this name for God shows up in a number of places throughout Scripture. It's found, for instance, the prophet Ezekiel refers to God as the one true shepherd over his people Israel. Same way, prophet Isaiah talks about God as one who will feed his flock like a shepherd, the one who will gather his lambs into his arms. You know, even Jesus used this image. Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for his sheep. But probably, I'm guessing, the scripture passage that's most familiar to most of us, well, that's the 23rd Psalm. That's the Shepherd's Psalm. Probably like many of you, I memorized these words as a child. I think it was about third grade. My Sunday school class memorized and recited the 23rd Psalm as part of our Sunday school experience. You might have done the same. But it didn't stay in third grade for me. No, I've repeated these words so many times and in so many different contexts, often in contexts of pain, in hospital rooms, in counseling sessions, at memorial services. These are words that we know by heart. So I want to invite you today. Often when the scripture is read, we just sit and we listen, but not today. I want to invite you today, as I read through the 23rd Psalm, to say these words with me. The words of the version we're going to read from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, we're going to have those words on the screen. I invite you to read those aloud with me. But maybe you have it memorized in a different version. A lot of us have the King James Version in our minds and in our hearts. Whatever version you know, or if you just want to read along with the words that you see, let's say these familiar, comforting words together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, I have my pastor slash dad to thank for a really incredible, beautiful insight that he had about this psalm. It's something he noticed years ago, something he preached about, I don't know how long ago, but it's something that's really stuck with me, and I want to share it with you. And to describe what he noticed, it helps to kind of remember that old adage that comes from real estate. You know, that question, what are the three most important things to look for when buying a piece of property? Location, 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 right? So Dad, as he was reading this passage one day, he noticed, He said, notice the location of the shepherd in this psalm. Notice the location of the shepherd, especially in relation to the sheep. So where do we find the shepherd? In three locations, the psalmist says. Points out, he says, sometimes the shepherd is leading us. The shepherd is out before us. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in right paths. A shepherd, that's what a shepherd does. He walks out in front of his flock to lead them. And so sometimes that's where God is for us, out in front, before us, guiding us, directing us, leading us to where he wants us to go. But where else is the shepherd? Sometimes the shepherd's out in front of us, but sometimes, other times, the shepherd's location is behind us. Look at verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, goodness and mercy here, they refer to the good shepherd himself, the Lord, who is the source of all mercy. And in Hebrew, the word follow here, it literally actually means to pursue, means to chase after. The Lord, the shepherd, he doesn't just follow us, he pursues us, he chases after us, he searches for us, especially when sometimes we start acting a little bit more like dumb, rebellious sheep, and we try to wander off and do life on our own. In those times, in those moments, our shepherd follows us. But there's one final place you can find the shepherd. And that's the place I want us to focus on together today. Notice in this psalm, in those times of crisis and danger, where is the location of our shepherd? Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. Well, why? I fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, sometimes it's the smallest words that can make the biggest difference. Thank God for that little word, with. When I'm in trouble, when I am struggling, when I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death, where is my shepherd? Well, I'll tell you where he's not. When I am in pain, my shepherd is not out in front of me urging me on. Nor is he trailing behind me trying to catch up. No, when I am in trouble, my shepherd is right here with me. You know, for many of the weeks in this series, we've had the gift of hearing from different members of our church sharing their own personal stories, and we have that gift today. And today's story, it's a really, really important one. I'm so excited to share it with you, but before I do, I want to give you a little bit of a heads up. In a minute, you're going to hear from my good friend, Butch Stanton. You may not know Butch all that well yet. He's been coming and worshiping with us for just probably a little bit over a year now. And he actually just became a member of Paoli through our most recent online virtual new members class. But I've gotten to know Butch over the time that he's been worshiping with us, and he was included in the list. When I was putting this series together, I just emailed a whole bunch of people. I said, here's this series. I'm looking for stories. Do you have one to tell? And Butch called me and he said, well, I have a story. I'm wondering if it's a story I can tell in church. So I said, I don't know. Why don't you tell it to me first? And so he did. And as I listened, as I heard Butch tell his story about his journey through anxiety and depression and serious contemplation of taking his own life, I said to him, oh, Butch, not only is this a story you can tell in church, this is a story you must tell in church. Friends, this is a story we must tell in church. For this isn't just Butch's story. This is all of our story. This is a story about walking through the darkest of valleys and discovering that when you're there, you have a shepherd who is right there with you. So let's listen now to hear Butch tell his story.
Hi, my name is Butch Stanton. I've been attending PPC now for a little over a year, and I'm one of the newer members of the church. I know God as someone who is with me through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is my shepherd. I didn't know at the time that he was with me because it was a series of events that has shaken me to the core. And when I think about it, even today, I feel so fortunate and blessed to be here. It started in January of 2008 when my dad contracted esophageal cancer, and in February he was put into hospice care. And I had a business at the time that I operated from my home, and I was able and more than willing to take the time off to be one of his primary caregivers. In June of that year, June 15th, which actually happened to be Father's Day, he passed away. And he, throughout my life, was my very best friend. We worked together. We played sports together. We were just inseparable. Everything that I have learned over the years about contracting and really life, I've learned from him. After his death, I went into a real tough time, and emotionally, and I just missed him so much. I had a very, very difficult time getting over his death. In September of that year, as you may recall, there was the crash, the financial crash, and I was destroyed financially because of that. And then shortly after that, in February of 2009, I had a heart attack. I was under so much stress just trying to keep things together. So I guess it got the best of me, and I had a heart attack. The following month, I went in for heart bypass surgery. And after the bypass surgery, I developed an autoimmune response called Dressler syndrome, and I was readmitted to the hospital 8 more times that year. So I lost over a year of work, and I was just at the point where I didn't know where to go next, what to do. I was just drained emotionally, spiritually, financially. There was just nothing left. And I hate to admit this, but the only out that I could see at the time was suicide. And being in the state that I was in, it was something that I just, I was so at peace. If I had any kind of emotion at all at the time, it was that I was at peace with the idea that I was going to end my life, because I just felt that the results of the heart surgery didn't go very well. I couldn't work. I had a syndrome, something called Pumphead syndrome, where I just you know, I was cloudy mentally. I couldn't sit around the computer and do the work that I had made a living at. So I felt useless, and I was just at the, I was at the point where I was completely at peace with the idea of ending my life. And on top of that, I was worth more financially to my family if I had done that. There was only one thing that was keeping me from going through with it. And that was another crisis that was going on in our family. My younger brother, my only brother, had just contracted lung cancer. And he was going to marry his 20-year sweetheart in July of that year. And I thought, boy, oh boy, there's no way I can ruin that for him. So I had it planned. I put all my affairs in order, and I decided that sometime after his wedding in July of 2009, I was going to take care of things. But a couple things happened. The doctor, the cardiologist that was taking care of me at the time, and the cardiac rehab nurse, turns out when I look back, they're literally angels from heaven. The cardiac nurse, Jerry, she noticed things in me, and she asked me what was going on, and I told her, and she contacted the cardiologist, a doctor by the name of David Michaloff, and he called me every single day for weeks and reassured me and worked with me and adjusted meds and, you know, all kind of things. And he saw me through it, and it was his reassurances that I would get better. He kept telling me, he said, "Butch, don't give up. You will get better." And the day after my brother was married, the family members, my three boys and my nephews, and a bunch of us were together, and we decided, we didn't stop, we had to do it. We had to clean up and get things back to normal because the wedding was in a family backyard. And it was that day that I looked around at everybody, and while I was still too weak to really work, I saw the love and the camaraderie and the laughter, and I just thought, wow, there's no way that I want to miss this. So that was the day when I realized that the plan that I had in action was not the right one. And I look at these memories, every single one that is flashing before me here. These are all memories of times after July of 2009. Moments that I wouldn't have been there to take the picture, or moments that I wouldn't have experienced the birth of my grandchildren, my son's weddings, everything. I had a discussion with Becca about 6 weeks ago about this right here, and it was after that conversation that I got off the phone and I looked up David Michaloff, because I knew that he had retired, and looked on Facebook and, you know, just to see if I could find out where he was, what he was doing, because he means so much to my life right now. And I wasn't able to find anything, but then I started thinking about his name, and did a little bit of research and found out that Misha in Hebrew means "what is God," or "God, what, how is God?" And love, the second part of his name. David Mishalov means, what is God's love? And I just, it hit me so hard after 11 years that while going through it, I thought that God had abandoned me. I thought that I was completely alone in all of the struggles that I was going through. But there was one man and a nurse that helped me through it. And today I am reminded that God was with me every step of the way. And while at the time I felt faithless and hopeless, God was there and he got me through it. And I am forever grateful and thankful that he was there for me. After this all happened, one day I sat down to write a note of thanks to Jerry Edwards, my cardiac rehab nurse. And that thank you note turned into a 23-page journal. And it became very therapeutic for me to write all of this out. And when I gave it to her, she shared it with Dr. Mishalov, and Dr. Mishalov asked if he could share it with the CEO of, or the CFO, I believe, of Crozier Keystone, because at the time they were going through budget cuts and things like that. And he wanted to use it as an example of how important cardiac rehab and mental health screening is after cardiac surgery. So I certainly gave him the permission to use that. But at the time, I also thought, this is for a guy who has always been the rock in his family, who has always taken care of everybody's problems, my kids and my parents and everybody. It was very, very humbling for me to say that I had reached a point where I was, I was ready to end it all. And throughout that time, I had wished that my dad was there, because he too had cardiac issues. And I know that he went through an episode of depression as well. And I wished that I could have spoken to him and asked him these questions. So with that in mind, I decided that I would share that journal with my boys to let them know that if they ever encounter a situation where they are hopeless or feel a void or absence, that it's temporary, that there are hundreds and thousands of new memories to be made if you can just hang on and lean on God. Because even though you don't think he's there, he certainly is. And when Becca asked me if I would share this story, I thought, well, if I wanted to share that journal with my three boys in hopes that maybe someday it would help them, then that's why I chose to share the story with you. If there's anyone out there who is suffering from any kind of depression, just know that there is help. All you have to do is ask, and God is there. All you have to do is pray. You can even call me. I'm not a professional by any means, but if you need somebody to talk to outside of your inner circle of family and friends, which is the way I felt, then I would be privileged if you called me. Thanks so much for listening. God bless you all.
You know, the reason I was so eager to have Butch share his story with you today was because I know how easy it is to get sucked into that myth that church is a place where you're supposed to always be happy. That church is a place for for people who have it all together, that the Christian life is supposed to be like the words of that old gospel hymn, that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Let me tell you as clearly as I can, those are lies from the pit of hell. The church is not a place where you have to be happy. The church in no way is a place only for people who have it all together. And for those of us who follow Jesus, there are some days that are sweet, sure. But for some of the strongest Christians I know, for them, every single day is a struggle to survive. And if that's you today, if you resonate in any way with Butch's story, if you are battling depression for yourself or any form of mental illness, or if you are caring for somebody who is in that battle, I want you to know that this church is for you. You belong here. You are loved here, and you are not alone. You have brothers and sisters like Butch who want to come alongside you. And you have a shepherd who is with you. Now, you may not feel like it. It's one of the cruelest symptoms of depression. It makes us feel cut off. It makes us feel like we're cut off from ourselves. It makes us feel like we're cut off from the people around us. It makes us feel like we are cut off from God. When we are depressed, we feel so very alone. But just because we feel it doesn't mean it's true. You are not alone. You are never alone. You have good reason to hope. For though you are in this dark valley right now, you won't be there forever. That is the hope of this 23rd Psalm. Our shepherd walks with us through that valley, and he does not leave us there. There are so many more locations to come. Green pastures await. Lavish banquets are still to come. There will be a day when you feel like your cup overflows. Goodness and mercy are coming. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He follows me. He is with me. Thanks be to God.